Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Hey, produce people! Here you are! Welcome to the international show of the Global Fresh Series. Today is March 20th, 2024. I am your host, Juanita Galio, coming to you from Long Beach, California. As always, we are excited to have you join us for another interesting show. But before we get started, a few announcements. On the international front, if you are interested in the fresh fruits and vegetables of Southeastern Europe, and not just fresh fruits and vegetables, but sun, beautiful water, Mediterranean, think Greece. Coming up real soon, April 11th through the 13th, is FreshCon 2024 in Thessaloniki, Greece. It's going to be showcasing all this wonderful produce from this area of the Mediterranean. On the home front, a big shout out to all of our fantastic sponsors who joined us for our first in-person networking event 2 weeks ago at the SCPC show. Wow, it was a huge success with a lively crowd and our special surprise guest, Bo Jackson. Thank you to everyone who made this a huge hit for us. Stay tuned to our next virtual networking event in April, as we will soon post the date. Now, a big thank you to our newest sponsor of the Global Fresh Series, proudly Canadian, Peak of the Market, connecting great farmers with caring consumers. Visit their booth 931 at the CPMA Convention and Trade Show to connect with Wayne Dirksen from Hespler Farms. They grow red, yellow, and white potatoes, as well as sweet potatoes. Today it is my pleasure to introduce Emilio Molina. He is the founder of Semion Biotech, a company testing a new technology that is currently in trials to combat citrus greening. Hey, Emilio, welcome to the Global Fresh Series show.
Thank you very much, Juanita. Happy to be here.
Glad you're here. Today's guest, Emilio Molina, is the co-founder and CEO of Semion, S-E-M-I-O-N. He started the company in August 2023. It's based in Argentina. His agricultural roots come from Ecuador. Growing up on a third-generation family banana plantation, he will tell us about his background and how a personal health event motivated him to start Semion and help farmers globally through attracting top scientists in the fight against citrus greening disease. Over to you.
Thank you very much for that kind introduction, Juanita. And yeah, as you said, I'm Emilio. I'm from Ecuador and I live in Argentina building Semion. And so I'm building this company because I grew up in a farming family, as you said, and suffered the big problems, productivity and pest costs. I wanted to build a solution, but didn't know exactly how. So simultaneously, after watching my father suffer from pest and from productivity problems, I started suffering from immobilizing pain. And doctors in Ecuador told me I was crazy. They sent me to a psychiatrist and told me I was, imagine my pain. After 5 years of being like this, I was diagnosed in Argentina, thank God, of degenerative hip syndrome. And thanks to that experience, I started to look for what happened to me in the internet. And I found science. I fell in love with it and found in biotechnology the tools I needed to help my family. And so thanks to my investors, who are called Grid Exponential from Argentina, they are the leading biotech fund and accelerator from Latin America, I got to know my team, three extraordinary scientists who then became my co-founders, and we started Semion to help farmers globally.
How did you find these top scientists?
It is a funny story, actually, because as soon as I discovered science and I knew that biotechnology was the way I could help my father, I started to look for scientists all over the world. So I started to cold email and send LinkedIn messages and all kind of stuff to scientists in many countries, Germany, the Netherlands, many countries. And what I said is, hey, I really want to build this company because I explained my story.
You were determined.
Yeah, I mean, I started to shoot messages to all the great scientists I could find, and I told them I wanted to start a company and use their amazing research experience in order to build a pest control company. And so only like 2% of them responded back, and the rest goes to me. That's okay. And what they said is that, hey, Emilio, it's great what you want to do. I really like it. You are passionate, driven, etc. But I'm not going to leave my entire scientific career for an Ecuadorian kid who it's crazy. So thank you very much and good luck. And I was like that for like a couple of years. And then
it took you over 2 years, you were getting these rejections and you just kept on.
Yeah, because, you know, my father couldn't, for example, he couldn't pay for my university. And that really frustrated me. And I didn't want that to happen to other people. I had to get many jobs and pay for my own university, my own life, everything. And so I was like,
you're the true entrepreneur.
A bit obsessed because I suffered from this and my family suffered from this. And then the health problem also motivated me a lot because that's how I found science. And so, well, after that experience, I talked to another entrepreneur from Argentina and he then introduced me to this amazing accelerator and fund called Grid Exponential. And what they do is that they fund scientists and entrepreneurs and they mix them and build teams that, you know, can work together and build amazing companies to the world a couple per year. That's how I met like instant match with my co-founders and they have been researching for more than 17 years about pest control by manipulating the behavior of insects. I will tell you more about that later, though.
Yeah, because it sounds as though you were looking for the right match. You could find people who are working within that, but you were looking specifically for certain pest control.
Yes,
research exactly. Have been done certain pest control. Okay.
Yeah. What we do, basically, if you want me to explain what we do.
Yeah, we're curious. I want to hear. You've stayed on this.
Yeah, so what we do is that we manipulate insect behavior through plant odors to protect crops. Our technology leaves no residues, can be seamlessly integrated into pest management practices, and avoids the development of pest resistance. Our first development targets HOB, which, as you know, is the most devastating disease in citrus.
Mm-hmm.
And in semi-field trials, in collaboration with USDA researchers, our technology demonstrated a 91% reduction in the presence of insect vector, Deferina citri, and a 100% reduction in egg laying. And now,
and that's just within the citrus, correct, at the moment?
Yes, those were the results on controlling greening disease, the insect vector of the transmitted disease. And so we are now conducting field trials in Florida, a couple of them, to validate these results and the technology in real field condition. And also doing field trials in Argentina in order to validate technology in other crops.
Do you find that citrus greening is more prevalent in Florida? Well, actually, it's interesting because wouldn't Florida and Brazil have the same type of humid climate?
Mm-hmm.
So is there more of a prevalence of the disease in humid climates, or you might be trying to test it as well in dry areas with citrus?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, for sure. You're 100% right. And that's why when you go to Florida, it's sadly completely destroyed. And we see this with the farmers we are conducting the field trials with. They're desperate. It's really sad to see how the industry is right now in Florida. And what bothers me the most, to be honest, is that I cannot believe that the U.S., which is the greatest country on earth, is using currently BACs to control this. And
maybe that's the only way they could figure it out for the time being, because I know that's been in the news for some time. They've really been trying everything so the crops are not decimated.
It's really sad to see. So what we want to do is we want to build a solution for them to be able to control the disease and not disappear, basically. And we don't want this industry to die, neither in Florida.
You want to save it, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's my dream. And not only in Florida, California, Texas, but also in Mexico, in Brazil, in Argentina, in Uruguay, like everywhere. Some countries don't have the problem.
Yeah, and is this disease exclusive to citrus, or are there other commodities, crops that also have the same disease that this can creep over into other commodities?
Only citrus.
Yes,
this particular disease, yeah. But the technology, we are trying it in other crops for other diseases. For example, in corn, there's a beet that is affecting in the Americas. And so we are conducting these trials in order to see if the technology works or not. And it has yielded great results so far.
Can you give us an idea of the size of crop, the land, that like hectares or acres that you have tested this on?
It depends, because we're doing multiple field trials, but maybe half an acre. And an acre is what we usually use.
And you're testing it on corn as well, or just the citrus for now?
Citrus and corn. And so corn,
And corn, they're pretty cooperative as well. So we're probably talking about the Midwest.
In corn, we're performing them in Argentina. Yeah, in Florida, we're performing them. We have an amazing partner in Florida, and we're a lot from him. From this,
I'm sure they'd welcome you with open arms.
Yes, I mean, it's really sad to see them, but they are so passionate about what they're doing, and they come from, as I come from, a third generation family of agricultural producers. They also do, and they're called Al's Family Farm, and they're located in Forest Pier, Florida, and they don't only have the best attitude towards how to solve this problem, and they're innovative, and they want to try new stuff, but they also have the best citrus ever, and I really like that.
Okay.
And of course, you can buy it on their website, Al's Family Farm. It's really great to see how farmers are willing to try stuff and willing to see how they can, how can they solve it? Yeah.
They're passionate.
Really passionate. Of course, it's the work of their life, family.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to see your life, you know, you've done this over a number of generations, as most citrus farms are, and even in California. And then to see all of a sudden it just melt. That disease has been so insidious. It kind of melts down everything in front of your eyes very quickly. So we're really starting to warm up here, and I want to hear more about this, and I'm sure our listeners do. But at the moment, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our fabulous sponsors and those relationships with the produce and supply chain industry. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to elevate your produce aisle and captivate customers with fresh, high-quality vegetables? Look no further than Peak of the Market, where we connect great farmers with caring consumers. Visit booth 931 at the CPMA Convention and Trade Show to connect with our passionate staff and growers to discover how we're working to fill half of every plate across North America. Learn how our core value of being rooted in growers drives every decision we make. From seed to plate, Peak unites the entire supply chain with a full service team handling everything from sales to logistics, packing, and distribution. We've got your veggie needs covered. Don't miss out. Visit Peak of the Market at booth 931 from April 23rd to April 25th at the CPMA Convention and Trade Show in Vancouver, Canada.
Welcome back to the Global Fresh Series. If you are just joining us, welcome, and a big thank you to all of our fantastic sponsors. Let's return to our interesting discussion with Emilio Molina of Semillon. Last we left off, he was just getting started to explain this really interesting new technology that is fighting off the greening disease within citrus.
Thank you, Juanita. Yeah.
How does the technology work? If you're able to tell us in a general way, I know it's probably proprietary, but people would like to know some things. So.
Yeah, for sure. It's really interesting. And this is based on the work, as I said, of my co-founding team, especially from Victoria Cole, who is a PhD in phytochemistry. She's a biologist.
And where is he located?
She travels a lot. So between Florida and Argentina, she's right now in Florida. We're gonna build she's working on the scale of the scalable parts of the technology, and we are building great partnerships there, and we will announce them soon. But that's where she is right now. There is also my other co-founder, who is Jorge Hill. He's a PhD in entomology, and he's working in Argentina with citrus and with corn. And my other co-founder is Alejandro Forlin. He's an agriculture engineer and also has an insane agricultural background producing citrus in Argentina. And he's in charge of the field trials in Florida. He's based now in Florida. And so basically what we do is that we manipulate the insects through altering the natural odors of plants temporarily. Mm-hmm. It's important that it's temporarily. So we do this because we use natural compounds called phytostimulants, which are primers of natural defense pathways to activate or deactivate natural metabolic routes.
Kind of turn off or...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what we do is that we activate or deactivate these routes of plants. And the plant produces organic volatile compounds as a consequence of the activation of, say, routes. So when we activate or deactivate them, we are effectively altering the odors the plant produces. It's important to highlight that we only do it during the plant's vulnerable phases, which in the
case what my next question was going to be. What phase are you doing this?
Yes, in the case of citrus, it is the rotation, because this is when the psyllid lays its eggs and the place where the nymphs grow. It is the moment of highest risk of propagation, because the nymphs acquire the disease, and after becoming adults, they transmit it. Mm-hmm. It gives the insect a bigger window to transmit the disease. In contrast, if an adult acquires it, the window he has to transmit the disease, it's much shorter, because it's not immediate. The bacteria must first go through certain phases within the insect and establish itself in the salivary glands.
So it sounds like if you were to miss that phase, it could really start to multiply to a point where it wouldn't work as well. So you really pinpoint it when and where to affect this.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very thin line. And this explanation, might lead us to think that we could also alter the behavior of pollinators, for example, or that we might modify the quality of the fruits and the quality of the essential oils. For this reason, it's really important to highlight that we only do this during the rotation, which is a stage different from mature flowering, and it's different from the fruit formation.
Interesting. Okay.
And so right now we're observing a much lower number of insects, even on sick plants, which are very attractive to the vector. Mm-hmm. And we are noticing that we improve the plant's phytosynthetic efficiency, and they would have more chlorophyll.
So do you think the plant becomes a little bit more healthy or robust because you're fighting off these insects?
Yeah, because our technology is not to cure HLB. That's important. So what we do is that we prevent the transmission. And we have noticed a big difference in new plants, of course, because that's what it's made for. Mm-hmm. But we are also conducting these trials in order to understand how this behaves with mature plants. And that's really important. Okay. And I'm really excited to see those results. We're receiving nice information right now regarding that stuff. So I'm really
very excited. Positive information.
Really positive information.
Yeah. As long as the grower is happy, then that's positive there.
Too. Yeah. It's the only thing that matters, to be honest.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I think that this technology is great if the farmers don't want it. So I also have a software background, and I think that has helped me to iterate on their feedback. And so, especially with Al's Family Farm, they have been really helpful in letting us know what they want and what they don't want, or the problems they are facing and how we can solve them based on all the knowledge that my team has. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the only thing that matters. In these technology companies, people usually get really excited about the technology and they don't listen to their customer. And right now, I think it's also because we all come from agricultural backgrounds in my team.
So right, you can really have good discussions on this.
Yeah, so like we are really obsessed about making the farmers happy. So for example, the scale. So what we do right now is that we send the insects away and we manipulate them to repel the insect. That's the first step. And then the other step is to attract them to traps. And so the question is, right now is a spray of our products. How can we make this more scalable? How can we make this more that has less friction for the farmer to adopt it and to fight this disease?
Right.
What they like is that basically the problem is that we are 6 times more cost effective according to our calculations. And also the most important part of this technology is that it extends the lifespan of plants.
And is it easy to use?
It is. Right now, it is not as much as it would be I can calculate in less than a year, we'll have a completely improved product and so or system. What I also love about this is that we're an IPM company. And so we want to build the greatest integrated pest management company in the world. And so we make our technology based on this ethos that we want to join the farmer in their IPM strategy.
You want to partner with the farmer.
Yes. I want to be seamlessly integrated into what they usually do.
It was seamless.
Like really seamless integration into their IPM practices. And even if they want to use the bags or not, they want to use another insecticide, another pest control for other disease, for nematodes, whatever, we can integrate perfectly in that system. And so that's why I really care about this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge because it sounds like you are very, very flexible in the way applied.
Yes, this technology is completely complementary to all that those currently use. And so it may replace the bags or not, depending on the producers. Choice. And no matter what management the neighbors do their groves, this is extremely important. Doesn't matter what the neighbor does, we ensure that the psyllids do not choose the citrus plants we protect. And that's really important. Yes.
So if you have one grover that would have the disease and they're using your technology and there's one right next door and it's not using the technology, there's no concern about the insects would still pop over next door.
as long as we are protecting the plants of our producer.
Wow, that's going to have everyone using it then.
I hope so. And we are doing these field trials in order to validate these results in field. You know, so it's different to do it in semi-field or in non-commercial fields. But as we're doing it in real field conditions, you can really, when we get the results, we will really see if it translates to this, if the same results.
Right. And how long will these field trials take?
We have been doing it for more than 6 months. And so we're a company. And we have been expanding quickly, like very quickly internationally. So in Argentina, in the US. And the first trial we started with Al's Family Farm will take until September to October 2024. So
okay. And almost then, about a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. We started some trials in December and also January. So maybe the same cycle for citrus.
And I'm sure you'd like to try and test it in other citrus growing regions, maybe Texas or California. So how are you finding your test subjects?
It's funny that these farmers that we have been working with, they have been non-friends from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So they were like warm approach. They were not directly related to us. And so that shows how eager they are to try stuff in order to find a solution for this. And so what we want to do is to validate the results, not only in field conditions in Florida, but we also want to validate the results in different parts, you know, because it may work in Florida, but may not work in California.
Yeah, or it might need a different type of measurements of application in other areas. Right.
And different everything, basically. Mm-hmm. And so we are looking for farmers in even Florida, because we want to keep working in Florida a lot. And we also want to go to Texas, to California, to everywhere in the US, and also to Mexico, to Brazil, to Saudi, to Morocco. We want to try this technology to try if it in different countries to see how it affects behavior of this, of everything in other countries. And also, other thing really important is that we have not seen any altering in the pollinization or a natural enemy side. And that's really exciting. And yes, so we want to see that in other parts. So not only Florida.
Sounds and like what's so incredible is that it really is just pinpointing the problem. It's not affecting anything else within the plant or the phases
that's
of
what we're seeing
the
right
growing
now.
Cycle, which is perfect. You mean, it sounds like you have a nearly perfect product there, but you'll certainly find out more as you're doing further trials in different parts of the country or the world. So if growers would like to find you and have more information or like to participate, how would they contact you?
So we can, you can, if you're a grow producer who are interested in getting to touch with me and we can discuss about more technical stuff and we can perform field trials and build a great relationship and talk between each other, you can find me on LinkedIn, also my email and also same page. So my LinkedIn is Emilio Molina, and it is E-M-I-L-I-O, that's the first name, and the last name is M-O-L-I-N-A, Emilio Molina. And my email is emilio@semion.com, and that is E-M-I-L-I-O@semionbio.com, and it is S-E-M-I-O-N-B-I-O.com. And the website is semionbio.com.
Okay, well, perfect. We're going to look forward to some more information as the trials run along. And certainly by next year, October, November, you'll probably have gathered a lot of information and we'll have you back and find out what the results are.
Amazing. Yeah, we'll be very happy to see them and to share it with everyone.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was great. A whole new subject and something that's so relevant, especially in the citrus industry. I mean, I've seen this for a number of years, how it's this disease has just decimated the citrus crop. So hopefully this is the holy grail for this disease, this, the citrus. So our guests and our listeners, thank you for joining us today. And as we say here at the Produce Industry Podcast, we will see you in the fields and on the horizon.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Galio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.